Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture that has been written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in the city of Corinth. This passage is found in the First Epistle, chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. The Apostle Paul had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in the city of Corinth, and some of those who heard him preach believed and were baptized, Acts 18 and verse 8. As a result of this obedient act, they became the sanctified in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Their identity was the church of God. They belonged to God because of their obedience. They belonged to God because of their sanctification by the Holy Spirit. They had given themselves to God in obedience to his divine gospel. And now Paul writes unto them, declaring unto them the gospel which he had preached unto them. This gospel which had been preached, Paul said, had been received. And as a result of having received the gospel, they were standing in the gospel. They were living according to the gospel. We must not only receive the gospel when we hear the gospel, but we must continue to stand in the gospel. We must believe the gospel, follow the dictates and the commandments of the gospel, live in obedience to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing, received, and standing, they would be saved. The gospel has the power to save. Paul had written to the Roman church, chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel is the greatest message that humanity can hear. The gospel is the greatest message that any man can speak, because the gospel has the power to save the human soul. We talk so much about being saved because so many people are lost. Many people do not realize they are lost because they never listen to the gospel. They never bother to read the Scriptures. They never bother to investigate their relationship with God. We must all do that so that we can be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul tells them that they must keep the gospel in memory. They must continue to stand in the gospel. They must continue to believe the gospel and walk according to the gospel, or else they will be cast off by God. And as Paul makes known the gospel, he said, Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, and Christ rose the third day. These divine truths were according to the Scriptures. Paul no doubt refers to those Old Testament Scriptures in which he had been schooled, which he had learned no doubt from a boy, being taught them all of his life, being trained at the feet of Gamaliel, according to Acts chapter 9. And thus, he had an understanding of the Scriptures. And according to the Scriptures, according to the prophecy of God that had been spoken in the pages of the Old Testament, Christ would come into the world, he would die, he would be buried, he would be raised the third day. This is the power of the gospel. These three truths are the foundation of the gospel. They are the truths that will save the human soul from sin. They are the truths that must be believed by every human heart, received by every human spirit, and lived by every human being. We must live according to the gospel so that we can save our soul. Salvation is established upon these three truths. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose again. These were the truths that were preached by the apostles as they went forth with the gospel. Jesus had instructed them before he ascended back to his heavenly Father that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because you see, every creature is important to God. If you're hearing me today, you are important to God. You may not be important to society as far as having given some great accomplishment to society, but you are important to God because you have been made in His image. You have been created by according to His fashion. You will live forever. And because of that, you are important to God. And so the gospel are those truths that are able to save the human soul. And these truths went forth by the apostles as Jesus commissioned them to preach the gospel to every creature. And we see in the book of Acts how they went forth. We see that they preached these divine truths concerning Jesus Christ. Just as Paul had made known to the church at Corinth the gospel which he had preached unto them, which they had received, wherein they stood and by which also they would be saved, and thus so can you and I also hear the gospel, receive the gospel, stand in the gospel, and be saved by the gospel if we will keep in memory what we have believed, if we will continue to follow the divine teachings. In Acts 10, verses 39 and 40, the scripture says, "We are witnesses of all things which he did, which Jesus did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew, hanged on a tree, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." These apostles who preached Christ had been a witness of the death of Christ. They had watched him die on the cross. They had buried him in a tomb, and they had seen him following his resurrection. They were eyewitnesses that the one whom the Jews had slain and hanged on a tree, who had been buried in a tomb, and whom God had raised from the dead, they declared those truths. They preached that great message. This is the message that is preached today. It is a simple message. It is a message that is not difficult to understand if we will but study and meditate upon it. All of us have the capability to come to an understanding of these truths so that we can believe them and obey them and be saved. This is God's design. This is God's desire. This is why Jesus came into the world, so that he could die and be buried and be raised the third day, according to the scriptures. In Acts 13, at verses 28 through 30, "And though they found no cause of death in him," Jesus was flawless. Jesus was absolute perfection. The Bible says more than one time that he did no sin. Never did he violate the will of God, for he did, according to John 8:29, all things that were well-pleasing unto the Father. He came down from heaven to do the Father's will, and in that will he walked and submitted himself all the days that he lived upon the earth. They found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from a tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. Here's the message again that they preached. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was raised the third day. In Acts 26:23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul is preaching to the Roman King Agrippa, in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, and he says Christ should suffer. He He suffered on the cross. The cross was a death of suffering and humiliation. And he should be the first that should rise from the dead. And as a result of that death and that resurrection, he would show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. The gospel of Jesus Christ would go into all the world. And since that day, the gospel has continued to be proclaimed to all people everywhere, so that all men, every woman, and every man might be saved through the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, through the mangled body that was buried in the tomb, and through the glorified body that was raised from the dead. The gospel of Jesus Christ is founded upon three truths. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ was raised from the dead. Believe, receive, stand, and you will be saved. If you believe these truths, receive these truths, live your life in obedience to these truths, you will be saved. These truths make us aware of three events. There are three events that will take place in the life of every human being. All of us have different courses in life. We marry different people. We raise different families. We follow different professions. We walk in different circles. But every human being will face three common events in their life. And the gospel of Jesus Christ makes us aware of these events. The knowledge of these events should cause us to hear the gospel and believe the gospel and obey the gospel and live according to the gospel. These three events that are going to take place in my life and in your life and in the lives of all who have lived and will live and now live should provoke us, motivate us, encourage us, stimulate us, excite us to hear the gospel of Christ and receive the gospel. The three most important truths that you and I can believe in this life is that Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose from the dead. And believing those three truths should give us an understanding of these three events. Notice them with me, please. First, we shall die. We are mortal beings. We will die. We have a lifespan. We are on a journey. Our life began at birth. Our life will end at death. Some will live longer on the earth than others. Some will die in infancy. Some will die in middle age, and some will die in old age, but all will die. Some will die from the natural cause of life. Some will die by accident. Some will die by sickness, but all will die. We will die at different ages. We will die under different circumstances. But we will die. We all know we cannot avoid the truth that we will die. At Hebrews 9 and verse 27, Scripture says, "It is appointed unto men once to die." All men will die once. We will not be reincarnated. We will not return in some life form to the earth. We will make one journey in this life through this world. and that journey will end in death. God has determined, God has appointed. It cannot be denied. It must not be neglected. You and I should seriously consider the fact that we are going to die. God has appointed that mortal man will cease to live. We have an appointed time upon the earth. We will live for a certain number of days or a certain number of years, and then we will die. But our end will come. That truth should encourage us to consider the gospel of Jesus Christ. At Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2, the wise man Solomon said, "A time to be born and a time to die." We have been born, and thus we live. But there will be a time when we will die. At 2 Peter 1 and verse 14, the Apostle Peter said, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Jesus Christ had shown Peter that he was going to die. And Peter said, "Shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. I understand that my days on the earth are fewer than they have been. I understand that my journey on this earth is drawing to a close. I think about that. I reflect upon that." And most individuals make preparation for death, physical death. We may buy a funeral plot. We may purchase life insurance, death insurance. There is a constant bombardment of advertisements upon us that we should make physical preparation for death. But we must make spiritual preparation for death. We must make certain that we are prepared to meet God, for meet Him we shall. We must prepare for the end of life. And we must soberly live the days of our life, conscious of the truth that we are going to die, and that we must be prepared to meet God. God has done so much so that man might be prepared. God made an eternal plan long before the world began, long before you and I were conceived, that humanity could be saved from sin. And God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world and allowed Him to die the death of the cross, be buried in a tomb and be raised from the dead, so that you and I could be prepared for our own death. Jesus prepared Himself for His death. And He informs the Apostle Peter of the manner in which he shall die. And Peter said, "Now I know that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle." He describes this life on earth as a tabernacle. We live in a tabernacle, a tent. We live in a house. And one day, we, our soul, our very personality, our very existence will move out of this body. That event is called death. It's not a pleasant subject to think about. Sometimes it's very morbid. It's not easy to discuss. But nonetheless, you and I must be mindful that we are going to die, and we must prepare ourselves by receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. At 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," we know that. We live conscious of that every day, that we are going to move out of this earthly house of this tabernacle, that it's going to be dissolved. We notice that with the passing of years. I am aware that the tabernacle in which I am housed is growing more and more dilapidated. I look at pictures that were taken earlier in my life, and I can see the aging process. I can feel the aging process. I'm aware that I'm growing weaker in strength and that my days are numbered. A truth, an event in my life and your life is that we shall die. But a second event that will take place in the life of every person, we shall be raised from the dead. God destined us to live eternally. Death is not the final end of our life. Because like Jesus, we shall be raised from the dead. God resurrected Christ. He will resurrect us. One of the great themes of the Bible, one of the great subjects to study, is the resurrection of the dead. In this 15th chapter from which we have read these six verses and upon which we have based our thoughts is a discussion of the resurrection of the human body from the grave. That chapter tells us that we will come forth from the grave. It tells us the manner in which we will come forth. It tells us the transition that will take place in the body that is buried and in the body that is going to be raised. And at the end of this chapter, there is a reference made to victory over death. Christ was victorious over death in His resurrection, and thus shall we. At John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves, shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Knowing that we're going to be raised from the dead, we certainly ought to consider doing good rather than evil. Living in obedient faith to God rather than living in disobedient rebellion to God. Everyone that comes forth from the grave will either come forth unto the resurrection of life or unto the resurrection of damnation. There are people today who do good, who follow God, who live under the authority of God. And there are those who rebel against God and have no regard for God. And notice that Jesus said there will be a resurrection unto life, but there will be a resurrection unto damnation. That ought to cause concern in your heart and in mine. For we shall be raised. It is unavoidable. Just as death is unavoidable, our resurrection from the grave is unavoidable. At 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." All will be made alive. You and I will be raised from the dead. One day the trumpet of God will sound and shake the very foundations of hell. The dominion of Satan will crumble. The authority of the devil will be forever demolished. And the dead shall be raised from the grave, some to life, some to death, some to glory, some to damnation. What is the state of your life right now? If you die now and are raised tomorrow, unto which resurrection will you be raised? What is going to be your future life in the world to come? What is your relationship with God, and how do you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that has been proclaimed? At Acts 24 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust." The just will be raised, the obedient will be raised, the unjust will be raised, the disobedient will be raised. An event that will take place in my life, in your life, we shall be raised. And the third event that should cause us concern is we shall be judged. We shall be raised to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ who came to save will become the Christ who judges. He will decide the eternal fate of the human soul. He will decide whether we will be saved or whether we will be condemned for eternity. Eternity is without end. We live a mortal life which will end, but we are facing an eternity which will not end because we are eternal beings, immortal beings made in the very image of the Almighty God. And God is everlasting, and so we will be everlasting. Jesus spoke of everlasting life when he was upon the earth and urged those who heard him to receive this everlasting life and to respond to the invitation that he offered unto them. And the gospel of Jesus Christ today is a gospel that invites humanity to follow Christ and come unto him and live in obedience to his will. At Hebrews 9 and verse 27, as it is appointed unto men to die, after this the judgment. We will stand in judgment before God. Upon a great white throne, Jesus Christ, the Immaculate Son, will sit in all of the glory of heaven, in all of the majesty, in all the majesty of eternity. Look at the majesty of the earth in which it was created. Look at the glory of the heavens. And that glory will be revealed unto us in greater detail, with deeper intensity, when Jesus sits upon that great throne. And before him the masses of humanity will be assembled. You and I will come into his audience. We will look upon him, the Lamb that has died and the Christ that reigns. At Acts 17, 30 and 31, Paul is speaking to people who are worshiping idols. Their idols are scattered throughout the city of Athens. Paul's spirit has been stirred within him because of the number of idols that stand. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The assurance of the judgment, the guarantee of the judgment, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus lived, died, was buried, and was raised. And I believe that I will die, and I will be raised, and I will be judged. The guarantee, the assurance of the judgment to come, is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel that is preached to all humanity. At Romans 14 and verse 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every child born of woman, every son and daughter, whether obedient or disobedient, whether holy or unholy, whether righteous or unrighteous, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, where his eternal fate will be rendered, where his eternal sentence will be given. At 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You and I live in the day of mercy, but in the judgment there will be no mercy. Jesus Christ will judge us according to the law that has been given, the gospel that has been secured by his death, burial, and resurrection. And according to that divine truth, he will judge every human soul. The gospel of Christ is founded upon three truths. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ was raised. And those three truths should make you and I deeply sober to three events in every human life. We shall die, we shall be raised, and we shall be judged. May you, may each heart, hear the gospel, receive the gospel, stand in the gospel, and be saved by the gospel. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.